The Christmas pageant, a time-honored tradition of having our children tell us the Christmas story. Now, I have personally been involved in a variety of pageants throughout the years. Many of mine involve scripts and memorization and staging. Often bathrobes were involved as we played the role of a shepherd or a wise man. One year I got to be a robot because the toys in the toy store were learning the real meaning of Christmas. That was a fun year. But literally, these were the kind of pageants that involved like memorization, and you had to show up every week for like 2 months. We prepared for these things. And then there were all these rehearsals, and everything had to be just right, and it was crazy. And it's not exactly conducive to including most people, especially these days. That's why when it comes to our children's pageant, Brandon has moved to an open format. If you're here and you want in, we've got a part for you. Now, like if a kid were to wander up right now at, what is it, 11:05 and be like, I see what's going on and I want to be a part of that, Brandon would find them a costume and they would be a part. And we do this because it's the right thing to do. Christmas is God's open invitation. Just like those kids can, any one of us can look at the hope, the peace, the love, and the joy that God offers at Christmas. And all we need to do is think, I want to be a part of that. And God welcomes us into it. The Christmas story is about becoming a part. And it goes both ways. Our Christmas story is also about God looking at humanity and saying, I want to be a part of that. God joins humanity in all of our humanness, putting on a life and hopping right into the story. That's why we do the pageant we do. The same way God says, yes, please, and the same way God says, I want to be a part, we want each and every child and person to know that there is a place for them. Now, there is merit to memorization, and there's certainly life skills in practicing staging and learning how to perform. Those are wonderful life skills. But today's pageant is designed to send a clear message. There is room for you in the Christmas story. It's a story we're not just invited to hear, but a story we are invited to see ourselves in. It's my hope that each of us, regardless of age, can connect with the vulnerabilities as well as be encouraged by the strengths of each and every character in the story. I mean, you think about Mary. Mary is anxious. Mary is facing new challenges. Mary risks being outcast by all those she loves. All the while, this young woman is wise and brave and strong. Then there's Joseph. Joseph is uncomfortable. He is trying to manage things that he is not ready for, and he's trying to decide if he should do the easy thing or the right thing. And all the while, this young man is courageous and compassionate and resourceful. Then there's the shepherds. I mean, the shepherds are just taken by surprise. They're asked to walk away from everything they know. They are invited to believe the unbelievable. And all the while, they are faithful and honest, and exuberant even in their confusion. These are real people. These are real people with real concerns. These are people just like you and like me. And God comes to be with them, offering them peace that is for all people, offering them joy that is for the world. So as I invite our readers to come forward, yep, that's you. As I invite our readers to come forward, I ask that you turn your attention to our children as they share with us the Christmas story.
Long ago, about 2,000 years, when King Herod ruled Judea, now part of Israel, God sent the angel Gabriel to a young woman who lived in the northern town of Nazareth. The girl's name was Mary, and she was engaged to marry Joseph. The angel Gabriel said to Mary, "Peace be with you. God has blessed you and is pleased with you." Mary was very surprised by this and wondered what the angel meant.
The angel said to her, "Don't be afraid. God has been very kind to you. You will give birth to a baby boy and you will call him Jesus. He will be God's son. He will be God's own son, and his kingdom will never end." Mary was very afraid, But she trusted God. "Let it happen as God chooses," she replied to the angel. Gabriel also told Mary that her cousin Elizabeth, who everyone thought was too old to have children, would have a baby boy, who God had chosen to prepare the way for Jesus.
Mary said goodbye to her family and friends and went to visit her cousin Elizabeth and her husband Zachariah. Elizabeth was very happy to see Mary. She knew that Mary had been chosen by God to be the mother of his son. An angel had already told Zechariah that Elizabeth's baby would prepare people to welcome Jesus. He was to be called John. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home to Nazareth.
Joseph was worried, but then an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Don't be afraid." The angel explained that Mary had been chosen by God to be the mother of his son and told Joseph that the baby was to be named Jesus, which means Savior. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel told him to do.
At this time, the land where Mary and Joseph lived was a part of the Roman Empire. The Roman Emperor Augustus wanted to have a list of all the people in the empire to make sure they paid their taxes. He ordered everyone to return to the town where their families originally came from and enter their names in the register. Mary and Joseph traveled a long way, about 70 miles, from Nazareth to Bethlehem, because that's where Joseph's family came from.
Most people walked, but some people were lucky enough to have had a donkey to carry their goods needed for the journey. Joseph and Mary traveled very slowly because Mary's baby was about to be born. When they reached Bethlehem, they had problems finding somewhere to stay. So many people had come to register their names in the census that every house was full and every bedroom was taken. The only shelter that they could was a stable.
In this place, Mary gave birth to Jesus, the Son of God. In those days, it was the custom to wrap newborn babies tightly in a long cloth called swaddling clothes. Jesus' bed was the manger where animals ate their hay from. In the hills and fields outside Bethlehem, shepherds looked after their sheep through the long night. As the new day began, suddenly an angel appeared before them, and the glory of God was shining around them.
The shepherds were very, very scared, but the angel said, "Don't be afraid. I have good news for you and everyone. Today in Bethlehem, a Savior has been born for you. You will find the baby lying in a manger." Then many more angels appeared, lighting up the sky. The shepherds heard them praising God, singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace to everyone on earth." When the angels left, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem to see what has happened."
So the shepherds went to Bethlehem and found Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus lying in a manger, just as they were told. Then they saw him, and they told everyone that the angel had said. And everyone who heard the story was astonished. Then the shepherds returned to their sheep, praising God and sending Jesus to be their Savior. When Jesus was born, a brand new bright star appeared in the sky. Some wise ones in a faraway country saw the star and guessed what it had meant.
The wise ones were very smart and had studied the stars and read very old writings that when a new star would appear, it would mean a great king was born. They set out to find the new king and bring him gifts. The wise ones followed toward the country of Judea. When they arrived at the capital city, Jerusalem, they begin to ask people, "Where is the child who is born to be the king of Jews?"
Now Herod, the king of Judea, heard this, and it made him very angry. He was angry to think that someone might be going to take his place as king. Herod sent for the wise ones to come to him. He told them to go on and follow the star until they had found the baby king. He said, "When you have found him, let me know where he is so that I can go and worship him." But Herod did not tell them that he really had an evil plan in mind to kill the new king.
The wise ones followed the star towards Bethlehem. It seemed to stop and shine directly down upon the place where Jesus was. The wise ones approached the place where Jesus was sleeping, and they bowed down and worshipped him. The wise ones spread the gifts they had brought for Jesus. The gifts were gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now the wise ones were warned in a dream by God not to go back to Herod. So they returned home to their country in the east by a different way.
When the wise ones had gone, an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," the angel said. "Take Jesus and Mary and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for Jesus." So Joseph got up, took Jesus and Mary during the night, and left for Egypt. When Herod realized that he had been tricked by the wise ones, he was furious and gave orders to find and bring him anyone under the age of 2 in Bethlehem and the surrounding area. This was to try and find the new king, as his plan to find the location of the new king from the wise ones had failed.
After Herod had died, Joseph had another dream. had another dream in which an angel appeared to him. The angel said, "Get up, take Jesus and Mary, and go back to Israel, for those who are trying to capture Jesus are dead." So Joseph got up and took Jesus and Mary, and they went back to Israel. But when he heard that Herod's son was now king of Judea, he was afraid to go there. So instead, they went to Galilee and lived in their old town of Nazareth. And this was the Christmas story.
Well done. Thank you guys so much. We'll invite you to make your way back to see Mr. Brandon. We'll get your costumes put away and all those things, and we'll send you back up. We'll have you guys head that direction. Good, good, good. There's a reason when we were looking at what week should we do the pageant, we decided on the Sunday for joy. It's something that's present in each and every one of the kids, even the ones who aren't quite sure where to be or what to do. There's still this life in this energy that is so beautiful and so present, and we give thanks for that. I do want to take a minute and share with you a couple reflections on the Christmas story that often aren't talked about. I've been spending a lot of time this Advent season engaging in studying some of the historical context and some of the background behind this story we all think we know, because there's actually a lot of it we don't. There's a lot of it that's actually been shaped by Christmas carols and Christmas pageants and nativity sets. And honestly, some of the things I'm going to point out today, you'll notice we didn't change the story for, we didn't change the setup for, but they're important pieces that help us find new levels of joy in the Christmas story. One of the biggest pieces is this whole perception of Mary and Joseph and who they are and what their experience was at the birth of Jesus. We get this whole story. They're heading to Bethlehem. There's no room in the inn. And, oh, they end up in this random little stable off somewhere in a field by themselves. Now, sometimes we see that as, see, God was born into these difficult circumstances and how dark and scary and how amazing this was. A lot of this is a translation problem and an understanding of what the context of the Middle East was at the turn of Jesus' birth. So what we find is instead of some random like little building with lots of small rooms where travelers would stay, there was no hotel, there was no motel, there was no Holiday Inn. Yeah, some of you caught the reference. Thank you very much. Every Advent, got to slip that one in. This was about people being invited into a home. So what we would find is every home was built with the main living quarters and then a guest quarters attached to it. Because when folks were traveling, having no special place to stay, they would show up somewhere and say, "Hey, I'm your people." So in this situation, Joseph would show up in Bethlehem, and it's not like he didn't make reservations and screwed up the whole vacation here. He knew he had to go, and he shows up knowing all he has to do is say, "I'm the son of so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, I'm your people," and someone would open for him that guest quarters in their own home. This is a beautiful thing. This is a joyful thing to see that kind of hospitality. But it turns out that room was already filled. So we still find joy in someone saying, that one's filled. So Mary and Joseph get to stay on the year zero equivalent of a hide-a-bed in the living room. That's what no room in the inn means. They were still in a house. They would have been in someone's place. Now, this is the part of the house where at night they bring the animals in so they don't get stolen or cold. I mean, it wasn't the fancy place, but they were in someone's home. There's a joy in that kind of hospitality. Now, there's also this whole piece about Mary and the giving birth. Now, let's also name that Mary didn't have to come on this trip. That whole Mary on a donkey, 9 months pregnant, making her way 70-some miles thing. Oh, there's joy that she got to take this trip. Because at the time, when they did a census, only the men counted. Joseph was the only one that had to make the trip. But he chose to bring Mary with him, because he knew the social pressure she was under being pregnant and unmarried. He knew how unsafe that could be for her. And so basically what he was saying is, "She's with me, leave her alone." There's joy in his courage and his partnership in saying, "No, I'm not going to abandon you here. You're coming with me. We will be together." There's joy in that relationship. And then there's the reality. If you ever look at this nativity, it is just Mary and a bunch of dudes. I mean, like, what is that about? Well, what happens is women get written out of the Bible over and over and over. What we can know based on the culture of the time is that she wasn't in some stable off laying in the hay alone, other than Joseph, who had no clue what he was doing, and a bunch of other dudes who were like, "Whoa, what's going on?" Mary would have been surrounded by women who had had children themselves, most likely even a midwife. Someone to be there to help her bring this life into the world. It gets overlooked. The men that wrote the Bible didn't seem to realize how important that was, nor did they realize how meaningful it is that she would have been supported and cared for by some people who may not have even known her, but they knew that she was their people, and it was their job to help her in this important moment in her life. There's joy in this story. These little pieces of context sometimes are a little tough to wrap our minds around, because that's not the nativity set I grew up with. That's not the story that we see in the pageant. Heck, we even built a life-size little stable here. Like, that's not historically accurate. Now, look, I'm not trying to push this image out of your mind. This will still be here. I want us to expand our understanding of what this story can be, that there is more to it than we might have realized. And that God just didn't show up in some faraway place in some random little moment in scary circumstances with Mary and Joseph all alone. God showed up in the middle of life happening. God showed up in a house filled with people who were struggling to be in relationship with each other and figure things out. Sound familiar? Hey, Merry Christmas. I mean, this is God showing up as life is happening. There's joy in that. There's joy in our Christmas story, and I am so grateful to our young people for offering it to us. Amen.